Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. We welcome each one of you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. He's doing some good things. We are so grateful to the King. Praise the Lord for all the good things He does. And I might say to start off here so that all of you know, some of you were here yesterday and some of you at the healing school, some of you were not. So for the benefit of those of you that were not here yesterday, the newest miracle we have in the Living Savior Ministries that's recorded, that we have some that's newer than that one, several that are newer than that one, but we don't have them recorded. But the newest one that's recorded was the little Bailey Waldrop's miracle when she was at Brenham the other day at a healing school back in February, and we just put that on tape. Was out at GLC 2 hours, and it's called Bailey's Miraculous Healing, and it's back there under the new teachings. It's an awesome thing, a little girl, you know, that was 15 years old that took the Gargacil shots that she shouldn't have taken because she was not sinning and her mom and dad were supposed to be trusting God, and so they did not. They trusted the doctor instead of God, and when she took those shots, she had a serious reaction that almost killed her. She almost died, and of course, after I got her mom and dad to repent of their sin of not trusting God, I prayed for her, and God instantly healed that little girl. And she went home. She had been down from November till February on oxygen and couldn't go to school or anything. And when she got prayed for in Brenham, she left there. Of course, she had had allergies all of her life, all 15 years of her life. God healed her allergies and everything. Now she can eat and drink anything she wants to, and she went home and played golf with her daddy for 4 hours the next Monday. And so, you know, that... Don't we serve an awesome Jesus, folks? He is awesome, you know. So all you got to do is touch His hand in faith. He's a mighty God. Now, we'll have to say praise the Lord for all you wonderful mothers. Today is Mother's Day. Congratulations, mothers. I know some of you have had your heart walked on with these boys and girls. I know, but some of you've got kids that you love all your kids, but some of them have been little devils. I know that. And some of you have had to pray for those little devils. You know, and some of you have seen God move miraculously for those children. But that's what we have to do for our children. We have to pray for them, praise God. But today I'm going to talk about some things that happens or what we can do when we obey God. You know, so that's, it's amazing what you can do when you obey. Now, under the old covenant, I mean, you know, it's written over and over and over again, and I don't know how I missed it so many times, but under the old covenant, it clearly says, the Lord speaking, He says, if you obey me and keep all my commandments and all my statutes and do everything I tell you to do, I, God, will take all sickness away from you and you won't have any. And that's written over and over and over in the old covenant. So, under the old covenant, if they had sickness and disease, they had sin. Well, guess what? God's never changed. Under the new covenant, He died for us to bear our sin, to bear our sickness, and we don't believe Him. And so we still, instead of walking holy before Him and obeying Him when we get saved, we go do our own thing. I mean, who's got time to study the Word of God? Who would ever dream that a young man, say a young man, and I see this all the time, who would ever dream that a young man gets saved when he's 11 or 12? Grows up and gets married, goes to church once in a while, never really puts God first, marries the sweetheart of his life, he thinks, this little girl, and she's the sweetheart. I mean, he loves her with all his heart, but he puts God on the back burner. And he's married 15 years, and all of a sudden he finds out his wife's committing adultery with another man. Breaks his heart. You know what my first question to you is, son? Have you been putting God first? Well, I go to church when I can. No, that's not the right answer. You broke his heart because you committed spiritual adultery, so now then your wife went out and run around on you to break your heart, to get your attention. People said, I don't believe that. Let me tell you, that's all over the book. You read that all over the book. You know, you want to have a blessed life, you're going to have to do it his way. There is no other way. You have to obey. So if you obey, today from the new covenant, we're going to talk exclusively from the new covenant. I'm not going to talk any Old Testament at all today. I'm just going to talk, and I'm going to start with Matthew 8:24 through 27. And I'm going to show you some things we can do under the new covenant if we obey. All these powerful things are based upon obey. Now, let's look at this in Matthew 8, 24 through 27. In the King James, we'll just use a King James on these today. Matthew 8, 24 through 27. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. 26 and 27. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? I mean, what's the big deal? We're just having a little storm. You know, the waves are covering the sea, covering the boat, but what's the big deal? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? If he's walking in purity and holiness, even the elements have to obey him. Well, Jesus told you and me that if we obey him, not only can we do what he did, but greater things than these that he done shall we do in his name. But almost nobody believes that today. See, just like these men, they marveled and said, what kind of a man is this? He was a man that walked with God. He was a man that believed God. He was a man that had no doubt in his heart, but walks holy and without sin. You can do the same thing. In fact, here a while back we were in California, and I was teaching in California, and I made a statement about a family that had some children, and several of the children got a hold of the faith stuff. And then they were going to take a trip to Hawaii, a cruise. And they got out there on that cruise ship, and the sea was rough. And that ship was going up and down, and lots of people were sick and all kinds of things. And one of the little 10-year-old boys said, Mama, why don't we go up on the deck and take care of this? And so the little boy went up on the deck and stood there in the name of Jesus and rebuked the winds and the waves in Jesus' name. And she said, within just 2 or 3 minutes, the sea was just as calm as it could be. And as I told that story, I said, isn't that awesome? And a little hand goes up back there. And I said, yes. He said, I'm that boy. And his mother stood up and said, yes, we were with him. That's a true story. I thought, wow, what a time to tell a story. And the little boy, which lived in Oregon, was in California and come to the meeting. And when I told the story, he said, sir, I'm that little boy. I thought, praise God. A 10-year-old boy with real faith. What can he do? See, Jesus is showing us if we obey him and have that childlike faith, what we can do. I mean, but the average adult, no, you can't do that. Well, I mean, no, you're right. They can't do that. It takes faith to do that. You can't do that unless you believe. And you know, that doubt, as I've said many times, we train ourselves, and like Dave said a while ago, we get this knowledge here, but it don't ever make the little short trip down to our spirit. And so by having this knowledge only up here, we've not spent enough time with God for him to drive it down into our spirit man. And so we think we got it, and we go out there and start to do something, and the devil throws that big black mantle over you and crawls under there with you and says, but it ain't gonna work for you. And he usually defeats us, doesn't he? Yeah, he usually gets us. We will not stand on God's word. Just like that song we sang a while ago as I stood back there, I thought last night when I heard Cheryl, when I was in there studying, she was singing Standing on the Promises. I thought, you know, as a Southern Baptist, I sing that song with the enthusiasm of a hound dog. You know, but did I know what it meant? I never stood on the promises. I never saw a miracle from God, but yet I sing that song like I knew what I was talking about. But it was just words. But now then, it's become a revelation to me. I can stand on the promises, and I can see God do great and awesome things. Now then, Let's go to the, let's see, from there, let's go to Mark 1, 23 through 27. Mark chapter 1, 23 through 27. In the King James, Mark 1, 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now here's a man in church. He's got a demon in him, and the demon's talking. Now see, we don't think that it's possible for us to have a demon because we got Jesus living in us. But that's not true. If you got any kind of sin in your life, you can have a demon. In fact, I'm not going to go into great detail, but that little girl in Silver City, New Mexico last year, one of the finest little Christian girls I ever met. I mean, she had her Bible. It looked like my wife's Bible. When I opened hers, there's not a page that ain't got marks, highlights all over where she had been in the book. But that woman had 2,823 demons in her. It took me 7.5 hours to get her delivered. But Dave and Ayesha and Cheryl was there with me. And I was there by myself with that woman for the first 2.5 hours. And then after that, Dave came down and Cheryl came down, and they got to enjoy seeing that deliverance themselves. It was quite an awesome experience to see those demons not only speak out of her mouth, but to see those demons throw that little body around and to see what happened. It was quite an experience. I wish we had somebody over there with a camera. It would have been awesome. It was awesome to see it. But Cheryl got to see it, and Dave got to see it. So, you know, it was awesome to see that deliverance, how that demons are still real and alive today, and they're here. And some of you brought one or two of them with you to church today. You know, you don't like to think like that, but if you got any kind of sin in your life, any kind, you brought a demon with you. You know, now some of these didn't. Who would have ever thought? I was a Southern Baptist deacon and a Sunday school teacher, and if you'd have told me I come to church every Sunday and brought my demons with me, I'd have said, "You're crazy." But for 30 years, I had athlete's foot in the worst way. I had no idea that was a demon until Jesus told me it was that day, 25 or 30 years ago, and when I cast that demon out of me, the athlete's foot left, and at least I hadn't carried that demon to church with me since then. And of course, only last Monday night, I prayed for a young man as we were in Odessa. There was a couple, family, that brought their 3 children, and from Hobbs, New Mexico, and after the teaching on television for 8 to 10, I prayed for people. And that family came up, and their little boy had a very bad case of athlete's foot. And when she said, "We brought him because we heard your tape that said that that was a demon, so we want you to lay hands on him and cast that demon out," I just kind of laughed. I had such a great faith for that demon. So I just kicked him out. 2 days later, I got an email from the mother. The mother said, "Before we got home, his athlete's foot was completely healed up." That we serve an awesome Jesus. I mean, oh, Jesus, Lord, what a God we serve. He is awesome. He says, I talk about this evil spirit. Let's see what 25 and 26 says now. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had tore him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, this example right here, Cheryl and I and Dave got to see these kind of things when we were out in Silver City, New Mexico. This beautiful little precious 40-year-old young woman, which had all these demons, and how these demons got into her. Now, she had 2,823 demons in her. I asked the demon, I said, "How many of you is in there?" And he told me, he said, "There's 2,823 of us." And so I said, "Well, how did you get in?" And he said, this blankety blank, I wouldn't even dare repeat what came out of that little woman's mouth. The worst, vulgar, a beautiful little Christian girl, but she wasn't talking. That demon was saying, "This blankety blank blank woman let me in, or let us in, 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls." That's how they got in. The Rainbow Girls is an organization of the devil. Now, a lot of people don't know that, but it is. And whenever she joined that as a young girl, she let them in. And they came in and had been tormenting her for 24 years. They really had lain dormant for about 22 years. And then the last 2 years, she started having serious stomach troubles. And that's what kind of, she'd been to the doctors and they couldn't find out what the problem was. So when she called me, I told her it's just a demon and we'll cast him out. Well, she came out to Silver City where I was teaching. I spent 7.5 hours with that woman to get her free. And I will have to tell this at the end. After 7.5 hours, we were down to 4 demons. I just couldn't appear to get those 4 demons out. I mean, the rest of them, some of them, sometime by 100 at a time, would come out just on a command. And then all of a sudden we get down to 4. And they lied to me a couple of times saying they were out. And then when I'd stand up and turn her loose, she'd come airborne and kick me right in the side, just like she was a karate chop player. You know, just awesome to see what the devil can do to a little frail human being, a little woman. But anyway, we had it was really something. But after 7.5 hours of casting out demons, we're up in Cheryl's and mine's bedroom. I got a woman laying on the bed. I'm on top of her with my knee in her stomach, holding her down. Cheryl's right by her side with a pillow, mopping up the foam and the junk that comes out of her mouth with a towel. And Dave's at the end of the bed, holding her feet down to keep her from kicking me with her feet. And I'm commanding demons out, and these last 4 just won't come out. And I look over at the clock, and I said, God, in an hour, I got to be at that church to preach tonight. I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? And you know what he told me? He said, it's going to be over when you believe it's over. In other words, I'm a faith God. I've given you the power. That's why they're not coming out, because you have a little bit of doubt. I thought, holy cow. When he said, you must have no doubt in your heart, he really meant what he said. So I grabbed that woman by the shoulders. I screamed at them demons. I said, it is written. I have power over you in Luke 10, 19, and 20. I said, now in the name of Jesus, you last 4 demons, come out and don't ever enter again. It's done. And I shoved her down, jumped off the bed, and stood up at the end. I said, woman, get up. You're delivered in the name of Jesus. And she opened her eyes and said, where am I? What am I doing here? She didn't even know where she was. But she was delivered. See, boy, he taught me something that day. Faith is absolutely imperative. Just a little tiny bit of doubt. And the demons are laughing at me, aren't they, Tom? They're just laughing. You don't really believe. You don't believe you can deliver me or her. You don't believe you're really healed. You know, feel that pain? You're not healed. You can't go by that pain. You go by it is written. And when you do, you get set free. But this thing cried out with a loud voice as it come out of him. We saw that out there in Silver City. Verse 27. And they were all amazed. That seems to be just like we are today. And we're all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, say, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, did the winds of the waves obey him? Did the demons obey him? Yeah. And if you walk where Jesus did, they'll have to obey you too. It's amazing what happens in this obey. Mark 4, 38 through 41. Mark chapter 4, 38 through 41. Let's look at these. Mark chapter 4, verse 38 through 41. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, care us not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Next couple of verses. And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? If there was ever a time that you and I are going to have to learn to walk in true faith, it's right now. We are fixing to enter the tribulation period. It's just across the horizon. You agree with that, Jim? It's here. I mean, it's here. And things you considered normal are going to be non-existent. You're going to have to learn to walk in faith. But if you learn to walk in faith, we have no fear. He's given us the power to overcome everything as His children. We don't have to be afraid of the tribulation period. We don't have to be afraid of the Antichrist. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of nothing. God has empowered us with this awesome word to defeat everything the enemy can throw at us as His children. It's just like the other day, Saturday, yesterday. A young man came up for prayer. And as he came up for prayer, he said, "Sir, I was here last month." I said, "Oh yeah, I remember seeing you last month." I said, "You had back troubles, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, I was down in my back for 10 years. I've had back pain 24/7 for 10 years. He said, "I came last month and Jesus healed me." He said, "When you prayed for me, my pain went away and I've not had any pain till yesterday." He said, "Yesterday I was going to come back to the healing school to bring my wife to get her healed." He said, "I got healed, now I want my wife healed." And he said, "Yesterday I was lifting some oxygen bottles, and in the process, they're big, heavy things." And he said, "I got a twinge in my back." And I thought, oh, my first thought was, oh, my lens, it's back. And then I thought, what you said. I'm walking in obedience to God's word. I have submitted myself to the King. I can now resist the enemy, which is that pain, and he has to go away. So he said, I just said, "No, devil." He said, "I almost fell to it. Almost." But he said, I said, "No way, devil. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to do this to me. I am a son of God submitted to the King. I command this pain to leave my back." And he said, "Thurman, it left just like that." Now, what kind of power has God given you and me today? Oh. So see, regardless of what happens, all we got to do is walk in faith. This is a faith kingdom that you and I are part of. But we treat it like it's a worldly kingdom. It's not a worldly kingdom. It's a kingdom of faith. You take His promises, just like standing on the promises. Oh, Lord. I sang that song till I was black and blue in the face. Did I know what it meant? I didn't get it. You talk about a slow learner. It's unbelievable that you can sing a song like that over every Sunday, almost every Sunday for years and years and years. And then during the week, it was one of my favorite songs. I could drive down the road standing on the promises. Oh, glory to God, standing on the promises. Didn't have a clue what it meant. Not a clue. That's kind of dense, isn't it, Scott? But I guess a lot of us have been there. Maybe all of us have been there. But I certainly had my share of it. These men feared exceedingly because the sea obeyed him. Then let's go to Luke 8:23-25. Luke 8:23-25. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 25. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" Where's yours? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They will obey you too, if you do it like he did it. I mean, that's just like I remember years ago when I first got a hold of these kind of things. My nephew was up here painting some trucks for me, and he was out here in the shop one Saturday, and I had a TV. I still got the TV out there, but don't listen to it anymore. But back in those days, I did a little. That day I had it on the Weather Channel, and it said, "Warning! A tornado has been spotted just over Justin, Texas, and it's headed northeast." He heard that. "Thurman, are we northeast of Justin?" I said, "Yes." Chuck runs outside. He said, "My gosh, Thurman, there it is. Where are we going to run to? It's heading straight for us." I said, "Chuck, we ain't going nowhere." I said, "We have the Word of God." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and command you to dissipate in Jesus' name." And it, he said, "Thurman, it's like that thing obeyed you." It did. It did. You know, I mean, there was a man called me here a while back, not too long ago, and he said, "Pastor, I want to tell you how much I appreciate what you've taught us." He said the other day, we live in Oklahoma, and he says, I was out of town in Dallas, and my wife called me and said, "Honey, there's a tornado, and it's on the ground, and it's coming straight for our house." He said, "I could hear it roaring in the telephone." That's too close. He said, I said, "Honey, no fear. We have power over it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command that tornado to dissipate now in Jesus' name." And she said, "Glory to God, it's gone." Just that quick. It just dissipated. He said, "I learned that listening to your teaching." He'd never been here, but he got a CD and listened to it on a CD and believed what God said. And he realized he had that kind of power too. And so the enemy had to obey him. Isn't it wonderful when you learn who you are as a Christian? That you have this kind of power and that the enemy, even the elements, have to obey you on this earth? That's a little above the head of a few people in the church. But it's written. So, and they obey him. Okay, and then let's go to Acts 5:26-32. Acts 5:26-32. And let's see what this says. Acts 5:26. "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them." Now, I want you to realize what we're talking about here in the first part of this verse. What is going on? The government is going out to get the men of God. But they have to be careful because they fear the people, because the government and their military and their police officers are not near as big as us, the people. Then Peter, he says, "Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." That's exactly what we intend to do. Exactly. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We're going to obey God rather than man.'" If you know who you are in Christ, you can overcome the evil one. There's no problem. But this right here, they're trying to overcome them. "Then Peter, when they commanded them that you shall not teach in this name..." You can't talk about this. "Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" 30 and 31. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things." Are we his witnesses? Yes, we are. We are his witnesses. "And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that..."
Obey him.
Oh. If you obey him, you have the Holy Ghost. If you don't obey him, you don't have him. That's why you have no power. You're not obeying. He will not live the Holy Ghost. He will not leave the Holy Ghost in a human being in his power if you're walking in sin. You'll not have that power. Hope is available to every Christian, but faith is only available to the obedient Christian. Why? Because he says in Galatians 5:6, your faith works by love. If you don't walk in the God kind of love and obey the King, then you'll not have the Holy Ghost to walk in power. He's not going to share his power with you if you're living in sin. If you've got a vulgar mouth, you're cussing, you're doing all the bad things that you're not supposed to do, you're covetous, You're an idolater. You're worshiping other gods. You can't wait to get home in the afternoon to turn on the television so you can watch your soap operas. You ain't ever going to walk in God's power. He ain't going to share that with you. He's only going to give the Holy Ghost to those that obey Him and walk holy in obedience to His Word. I love walking in God's power, don't you? I love seeing God answer my prayer. I love it. I mean, just like I told the other day on the set when we was out there in Odessa, I looked Kent Waltrip right in the eye and his wife, Becky. And I said, all the thousands of hours I've spent studying this book, if this one miracle of your daughter was the only one I had ever seen God do, all that would be worth it for that one little girl. Amen. It changed her life forever. But praise God, it's not the only one. There's been multitudes of them. Why? Because we obey. As we obey, He gives His Holy Ghost to those of us that obey. Do you want to obey? Do you want that magnificent power of that Holy Ghost in your life? So when you pray for somebody, He'll answer your prayer? Absolutely. I want it. I definitely want it. Now then, let's go to Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. Romans 2, 4 through 12. Romans 2, 4 through 12. 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? 5 and 6. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. And that means He's going to render to every man and woman according to your deeds. He's either going to bless you or His wrath's going to be poured out. Verse 7 and 8. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, you'll get eternal life. Is it worth doing this? Is it worth seeking? To them who by patience continues in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Now see, this is serious when you do not obey the truth, isn't it? He's talking to Christians. But you do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. See, that's why people suffer. They don't obey Him. That's why people are sick and afflicted, because they do not obey the King. They do not do what He says. They do what they think is right. And where do they learn what is right? What they think is right, they learn it watching the television. And I can assure you, if it's on TV, it ain't right. Because there's nothing I've ever seen, really, that the world today is putting out on the television shows that lines up with God's Word. Even some Christian media you listen to, you have to be careful. You've got to be able to be in the Word yourself, because I can assure you, every Christian television show you see will not be according to God's Word. I can remember, I'll tell you something happened to me listening to one of the best radio stations here in the Metroplex. Highly recommend Christian, and that's all I listened to for years when I was about 45 years old. I didn't have to have any reading glasses. I could read finest print. I'm driving down the road one day listening to Crystal Television, Crystal Radio Station. I mean, I had the greatest respect for them, but there was a doctor on there. He said, you know, and to come to a little time of commercial there, and he's talking, he said, you know, if you are wearing not wearing reading glasses and you're over 35, you're lucky. Because the eyes begin to fade away when you get 35. And everybody over 35, if you're not wearing them now, it won't be long till you will be. I thought, well, gee, how lucky I am. See, I never heard that. So I didn't know I was limited by age to wear reading glasses. So I thought I could just see perfect. I didn't have any problem. But I said, well, I guess it won't be long till I'll need reading glasses. And it wasn't long whenever my eyes began to get just a little bit fuzzy. And I thought, oh, just like that guy said. You know, here I go. You know, so I need reading glasses. So I went to a 1 and a 1.5, a 1.75, and a 2.0, and then a 2.5. And then one day I got smart. I began to understand, hey, I don't have to go here. What that doctor said on Christian radio is not true. Jesus said, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, Lord, I don't need them reading glasses. I don't have to have it. And so I started the other way. And it took me a whole lot longer to get the other way than it did to get where I got the first time. Rosemary the other day, can you imagine a stupid woman like her that said, I can do that? I don't have to have reading glasses. She's worn them all of her life. And so she starts standing on Mark 11:23 and goes to take her driver's test the other day, and a crazy woman leaves her glasses at home and goes to take her driving test. And guess what? She passed it without her glasses. Now they took all limitations off of her driver's license because she believed God. And now then my wife's standing on it, and she's getting in. She's nearly out of hers completely. Now see, who are we going to believe in these last days? Are we going to believe God? Are we going to stand on His promises? What did we sing about a while ago? Standing on the promises? Well, you don't know the promises. You can't stand on them, right, brother? Hey, isn't that awesome that God made us all these promises? Think, for all 45 years of my life, I was sick and afflicted until I finally got a hold of the promises of God. The last 25, I haven't been sick. Isn't that awesome? And y'all are walking in it now, Kim. I've heard Scott and their children. They're not having any sickness in their home. They're walking in love, standing on God's promises and in the Word. And Scott is the spiritual head of his house doing what I said. And they got three lovely children, and none of them ever get sick no more. Isn't that awesome? For there is no respect of persons with God. Ooh. Don't tell him you're his favorite, right, Tom? Because he ain't got any favors, does he? What does he understand? Obedience and faith. Is that right? And then those are his favorites. Those that walk in faith, those that walk in obedience to his word, those are the ones he understands. For as many as have sinned without law shall so perish, also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law should be judged by the law. Let's see the next couple of verses. Well, that's all we want to get on that. So if you, for there is no respect to person with God. No respect to persons. Let's go to Romans 6, 7 through 23. Romans 6, 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 7 and on. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, do you see yourself dead? You better. Because if you're dead, you're free from sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See, you need to get to the point where you can say, I'm already dead. I may look like I'm walking around, but I'm dead. I'm dead to the things of the world. And when you really die to the things of the world, that's amazing what you can do when you get to that point where you can see yourself as dead. Now, he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we'll believe we shall also live with him. Verse 9 and 10. knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Next two verses. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's what you have to do. When the enemy comes to you to try to get you to sin, you tell him, I'm sorry, devil, but I'm dead. I'm dead. But you know, you need to lust for this new car over here, or you need to lust for this new house over here, or you need to lust for this new dress, or whatever. And you say, I'm sorry, devil, I'm dead. I only obey my master, Jesus. I'm not going to lust for the things of the world. But you need to go over here and do this. Or you need to get angry here. I'm sorry, devil. That man is dead. When you see yourself dead, you can't sin no more. You cannot sin being dead. So that's why we need to die in the flesh. The flesh needs to die. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now see, when you and I obey sin, it always brings forth death. And you know the way the enemy gets through to so many Christian men? He gets them to break the first commandment. You're to have no other gods before me. You are to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. You are to put me first. But the devil will say, you know, you got to make a living. I mean, you know, what does God think you are? You got to go out there and work 12 hours a day to make a living. You ain't got time to study that old book. I mean, after all, it's just an old book. You don't need to study it. But the words in that book are life and health to all your flesh. So he don't want you to get a hold of that, because when you obey God, when you obey him, he not only gives you the Holy Spirit, but he gives you power over everything on this earth. And when you pray and ask him for something, it don't matter what it was. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll never ask God for something that's not according to his will. I don't care what you ask for. You won't ever ask for something stupid. That's like that lady that came to church one day. She'd heard me teach on Matthew 18:19, the two of us agree about anything, it'll be done. So she sent her daughter up front at prayer time and said, my mother couldn't come today, but she wants me to get you to agree with me for her in prayer. I said, what for? She said that she'll win the lottery this week. I said, oh God. I said, tell your mother to come to church. She needs to come a long time. I said, that's not even in accordance with God's will. I said, I would not pray that. I said, tell your mother she needs to get off her dead backside and get here in church herself instead of sitting at home watching television every Sunday. She needs to be in church herself. You know that? But you know, what do we want to do? We want to sit home and watch our TV. Now, I know a lot of good Christian men that they ain't coming to church on Sunday if the Cowboys kickoff is at 10 o'clock in the morning. They ain't coming. I mean, the Cowboys is much more important to me. They may know all of those men's name on both teams. They know how many yards they've rushed, how many yards touchdowns they've made. They know everything. And you say, would you tell me who John, Peter, would you tell me who these guys are? Well, I know a Peter at work. No, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Apostle Peter. The what? Apostle, what's that? You see where I'm coming from? You want to know why you don't get God to do nothing for you? Because you've made another God your God. Now, if you made him your God, you're going to know who these apostles are. You're going to know what these men did. You're going to know where they went. You're going to know about Jesus, and you're going to know about his word. He's got his word hidden in you, and you're going to be able to do great and awesome things. But he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. So when sin tries to take a hold of you, the average Christian yields to it. People all the time come to my church and say, you know, the devil's been after me all week this week. I need you to kick him out. I say, stop sinning and he'll leave. I said, the only reason he's there is because you're doing something wrong. Stop sinning. God's given you the power. Did he say there when he says, let not sin therefore reign in your body? Did he say, I, God, will help you to not let therefore sin reign in your body? Or did he tell you to not let it reign? He told you, didn't he? He put that monkey on you, didn't he, Tom? But he did put the Holy Spirit in you to help you, didn't he? Of course he did. So if God told us, let not sin therefore reign in our mortal bodies, what do we have to do when sin tempts us? Tell it where to go. I don't have to yield to you. Is that right? We don't have to sin. We only have to sin when we make an intelligent decision, I'm going to sin. Otherwise, you're just allowing the enemy to come in and overpower you. And I can just see every time the enemy tempts us with something and we yield to him and we fall to sin, I can just see the devil now laughing as he stands before God. He said, God, look at your stupid little son, Thurman, down there. I deceived him today, and he just fell right by the wayside. He's a stupid kid. You know that? Can't you see him doing that, Tom?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he loves it. He gloats over it when we make a mistake, doesn't he? Especially when he's the one that initiated it, and we yield to it on all the time. God has given us the power to overcome sin because he said, see yourself dead to sin, and therefore you won't sin no longer. So we got to start thinking like the Word says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Next two verses. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. If I'm under grace, and sin shall not have dominion over me, if Jesus told me that sin shall not have dominion over me, then when sin tries to come into my life, what do I have to tell sin when it tries to attach itself to me? No, you can't do this. You can't do this to me. I'm not going to lay down for this. But you need to do this or you need to do that. No, I ain't going there. I ain't going to have dominion over that. Sin shall not have dominion over me. So I ain't going to yield to it. You know, you drive down the road and the devil says, oh my goodness, your car is paid for now. And you've got just enough money coming in every month that you could make payments on a new one. And look at that beautiful one over there in the window. Ooh, isn't that nice? And you drive by and you look at that. And then every time you drive by, you look, ooh, and the devil says, that's the one you need. Has he ever done any of you like that? Yeah, he does all of us like that. As long as he thinks there's a chance. But when you've totally died to sin, he don't bother you with that no more. He don't even tempt you with it. But you know, if he can, he knows whether he can or not. Then he gets you to buy that car, and now that you're going to pay every penny you have, and if something goes wrong somewhere, you ain't going to have enough money to pay your bills. We yielded to sin. And there's no age limit to this. You can be 20, 16 or 116, it's no limits on covetousness. The devil knows what's in your heart, and he can get you to sin if you don't know who you are in Christ. When you read this book, you realize you have power over this. You don't have to yield to this. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. 15 and 16. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? What's his answer? God forbid. I mean, you know, when you think about the people in church that have been raised up in church and they've heard this statement many times. Well, I mean, you know, you got saved. You're just a sinner saved by grace. You're okay. God understands. He'll forgive you. So just go ahead and sin all you want to. There'll be no repercussions or no problem. Just go ahead. You're just a human being. You know the flesh is weak. You know, he will never tell you the spirit's strong, but the flesh is weak. So just go ahead and sin all you want to. And all the time when you're sinning, it's bringing forth death to you and your children. And you don't have a clue then when Christians get sick and afflicted and sickness and disease comes upon our bodies that it was our sin that brought it upon us. Because if we believed the Word and we obeyed the Word, even under the law, Jesus clearly said, if you obey me, I will take all sickness away from you and you will have none. Now, isn't that in the Word? Isn't that written just like that in the Bible? Yeah, not just once, many times. So if that is true, and we know it is because it's written in God's Word, then any time a Christian comes down with any kind of sickness, there's got to be some kind of sin somewhere that causes it. That's something, isn't it? But it's a promise from God. But He tells us here under the new covenant, we've even got a better deal. He says, verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield, who's going to yield? You are. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin which leads unto death, or of obedience which leads unto righteousness. Now, which one of those two do you want to live under? I think I'll take the obedience, don't you? I'd much rather live in righteousness and be blessed and live to be 80 or 90 years old and have maybe 100 years old and have no sickness. See, we got a man right here that's almost 80. We got one back here that's over 80. And how old are you, Brother Jim? 89. Glory to God. Stand up, Brother Jim. I want these people to see how good a health you're in, brother. Look at that. Look at this man. Jumping. This is a great friend of mine. I mean, this is a man of God. I mean, he loves God and serves God. Here he is, 89 years old, still teaching the Word, standing on the Word, writing articles all the time, and talking about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And look at the health of that 89, nearly 90-year-old man.
But that's just the beginning.
Amen. You think right, Brother Jim. You think right. And look what men of God that have made an intelligent decision, I'm going to serve righteousness. I ain't going to serve sin. And God says, I shall give these men eternal life. And look at them. I mean, how many men do you know in your life that made the wrong choice in a church, that did not spend their time with God, would not serve Him, would not read the Word, and by the time they're 50 or 60 year old, they're already sick and afflicted in the hospital or maybe even dead. If they made it that far. But see, God can't lie. He said, you obey me and put me first. You look at this almost 80-year-old here, and you look at that almost 90-year-old there. Now, which way do you want it? Do you want to be healthy like these two men when you get to be 80 or 90? Yes, that's what I want, praise God. I want it too. I want it just like Brother Jim and Brother Joseph. I want to walk in divine health. You know, and it's available, isn't it? Yes, it is, but you have to confess it. You notice his confession is right. I'm not going to be sick. You know, I'm going to walk in divine health because I have decided to die in my flesh and I'm going to walk holy before God. And by walking holy before God, God promised him here in this Word. And I'm telling you, that man knows the Word. He studies it all the time. I mean, he, of course, Joseph does too. But that's why they're so healthy. Because they read and study the Word and obey the Word of God. Verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. In other words, we've obeyed from the heart. When we obey from the heart, that's what makes it happen. By obeying from the heart, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Is that where we're supposed to be? That's where we are. We may not know this, but this is where we are. We have been made free from sin. If we're free from sin, when sin tries to attach itself to us, what should we tell sin to do? Go away. Yes, go away in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead woman. You cannot attach yourself to me. I'm walking holy in obedience to God's Word, so you cannot attach yourself to me. Just like as I taught these things down at Brenham, the Waldrop family, this little girl, I didn't even know she had had allergies all of her life, all 15 years of her life. But after what I taught, the next morning, after I prayed for that little girl for a complete healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, the next morning when they said they drove part of the way back to Hobbs that night, which I think they drove till about 2 o'clock in the morning. Then they stopped and spent a few hours in the hotel. Then they got up and was going to have some breakfast and then drive on to Hobbs. They said when they got up, they got to thinking, you prayed for a total healing. Now, Becky said, the mother, she said, Bailey has had allergies all of her life and can't drink milk, eat eggs, on and on and on. So she said if she's healed of everything from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she can drink milk. So she gave Bailey a glass of milk and said, here, honey, drink it. And so Bailey said, Mother, I'm not sure if my faith is there. See, she's 15. That's the only teaching like this she'd ever heard in her life. But her mom and dad said, our faith is there. Now, who has spiritual authority over that child? The daddy. And they said, we're here. And so they gave her the glass of milk. And she drank the glass of milk. And immediately they were put to the test. The throat began to turn red on the outside. And it began to swell closed. And the parents rebuked it, commanded it to leave, get its hands off of their daughter in the name of Jesus. And immediately the throat turned back normal and she drank the rest of that milk and ate an egg and she's been eating and drinking everything she wants to ever since. Now, see, when you learn the power you have in the name of Jesus as obedient children of God, what you can do in the name of Jesus, isn't it awesome? What you can do in the mighty name of our King. It says, being then made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. Next couple of verses. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, that first part of that verse 19, that's every one of us before we got saved. Were we all wicked? Oh, yeah. We were wicked. Now, unfortunately, some of us, when we got saved, we're still wicked. We ain't supposed to be. God cleaned us up. We're supposed to change, but we haven't read enough of God's Word to find out who we are. So we just keep on sinning. And once you find out who you are and the power you have over this, then you quit sinning. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be free from righteousness. Do you? Not at all. Okay, the next two verses. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. We're still going to suffer the consequences we're suffering because there's only one that's in control of the world. And you know who that is? God. And you know the only thing that's going to save the world? It's when the world repents and makes Jesus Lord of their life. That's the only thing going to save us. And I got a feeling that ain't going to happen because I've read the last chapter of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, I give them time to repent, and they would not. In fact, he says, I'm even going to give man 5 months to repent, and whenever this time of repentance is there, I'm going to make it so that no man can die during that 5 months. And they're going to suffer, and they're going to be in pain. There's going to be judgment to come upon them, and man is going to beg to die. And I ain't going to let him die for 5 months. How would you like for some guy to say, I'm hurting so bad, talk to one of his friends, say, just put a gun between my eyes and blow my head off. And he puts a gun between your eyes and blow your head off, and you can't die. It won't work. You're in suffering and pain, but you can't die. You can feel the pain. And God's there saying, repent. Repent, and I'll forgive you. And they say, no, we're not going to do it. Isn't that awful? It is awful. All that's written in the book. Verse 23. For as the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is that for? Anybody that will receive it. Jesus came to save the whole world if they'll accept Him by faith. But you have to do it by faith. If you don't, it ain't going to work for you. That's the same way we get healed. We accept the gift of God by faith And it's when we stand on those promises, and it heals us. And every once in a while, we get a miracle like we did with Bailey. Oh, I wish they all like that. But they're not. The majority of the things that happen to this ministry are healings. They take a little time, as a rule. But we've seen thousands of those. But miracles like Bailey's now is running in the hundreds. You know, so that's not bad to see God do a few hundred of those, is it, young lady? It's wonderful. Yes, it is. He, every once in a while, he just lets us know, kids, I want y'all to know I'm really still there. You know, I mean, there we were down there with Bailey, and here we're, I said, and you know, and Jesus is standing right here in our presence, and you know, people could look at you and say, I don't see him. Is he really there? Oh, yeah, he's really there. And he said, just to let you children know that I'm really there, as soon as my son lays his hands on that little girl, I'm just going to zap her with my power, just a teeny little bit. And he did, and he instantly healed her. Let me tell you, you know what he did to that Southern Baptist family that didn't have any clue that healing was available? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know that was on the front page of the Hobbs newspaper this last week? The front page, Bailey's healing. And Bailey is going and with her parents to Southern Baptist churches all over, as well as Assemblies of God and other churches. And that little girl's giving her testimony. And the other day she gave her testimony over to a church there close to Hobbs somewhere, and 15 young people got saved in that service. That's what I say. Praise God. I mean, when the young people see a young girl they know was sick and afflicted and couldn't even be in school, and she went somewhere and somebody they don't even know prayed for her, and she says, Jesus did this. Well, they know somebody did it. All they know is she couldn't get out of bed. She had oxygen. And today she's running, playing golf and everything else. And she's totally well. We know Bailey could never eat eggs or drink milk. And now she's eating and drinking anything she wants to. Something happened. What was it? Oh, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. That'll have an impact on people's life, won't it? It'll have a tremendous impact on people's life. Now then, let's finish up with 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 12, and we'll quit right there. I got several other verses I want to talk about, but I looked up and it's 4:15, 4:20. Time goes by so quickly when I'm having fun. Goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 12. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Think of that day. When you look up in the eastern sky and you hear this trumpet and all of a sudden you look and there's the King. With multitudes of his angels. Are you going to be ready? Yeah, I'm going to be ready. In flaming fire. Taking vengeance on them that know not God. What? What's he going to be doing to the unbeliever? Oh, goodness gracious alive. Tom, that word, couldn't you have made that word a little easier? That's what a doctor of theology from the seminary said the other day when we were talking. He's wanting to do a book on the ministry's life. And everything, and I said, well, you know, God kills people. He said, I don't like that term when you say God kills people. I said, well, that's what it says, isn't it, Kim? That's exactly what it says. In flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. That do what? Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if those people out there that don't obey God, you need to be telling them about the Lord, that he is real, and that if they don't accept him as Lord and Savior, you know, there's going to be a judgment that's going to come. Yeah, one third of the world will die. You know, in flaming fire, verse 9 and 10. Let's go on here. Who shall be punished? These people are going to be taken out with a flaming fire, and that's not going to be the end of it. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, we're going to be looking for his return, aren't we? We are the saints of God that are looking for the King's return. But he says, those that were not, they shall be taken out with a vengeance, with flaming fire, and they'll be punished with what kind of destruction?
Everlasting.
How long is that?
Forever.
Is that what that really means? Forever.
What it means.
Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Verse 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. I want the work of faith with power. Don't you? I love to see His power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. How? In you. You know, isn't it amazing that I had the privilege to pray for Bailey, like I've prayed for many other people. And you know, when people hear that Thurman Scripture did that, they think, man, he must be a man of God. Is that what people think?
Sure.
Do what, honey?
A righteous man
of God. See, now how does Jesus glorify Himself?
Through you.
Through us. It should be through us. Not just me. He glorifies Himself through us. To you. All you got to do is walk in obedience to His Word. Now, I'm going to tell you right there, I think about how God glorified Himself through that precious woman sitting right over in the back. That woman, some of you don't know that woman. A while ago I called her a stupid woman. You know, because who would think she could stand like that? Some of you may have took that wrong, but let me tell you what this wonderful woman did just here a while back. I mean, this is one of the most awesome testimonies we've had in this whole ministry. But that woman right there, a woman called in her grandmother and her son, her grandson, had stabbed himself in the eye with a pocket knife. And they took him to the doctors, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, we'll have to take the eye out and put a glass eye in. So they called the minister and happened to get that woman right back there, Rosemary. And he said, would you please pray for us that the surgery will go okay tomorrow when they take our grandson's eye out and put in a glass eye? He stabbed himself in the eye. Rosemary said, I don't pray a prayer like that. She said, my God's bigger than that. He can fix that eye.
Amen.
Now, did the king say, according to your faith be it done unto you?
Yes.
That's what he said. Well, that woman back there, Rosemary, she said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fix that little boy's eye. You made that eye in the first place. You can put that eye back. And she said, Father, when you get through that eye, I don't even want to scratch on the lens of that eye in the name of Jesus. Now, is that bold faith?
Amen.
The next day, the grandmother called back and said, Rosemary, this is unbelievable. They took the patch off my grandson's eye today. And when they did, he said, Mama, I can see. And the doctor examined the eye and he said, I don't believe this. There's not even a scratch on the lens of that. What did Rosemary ask the Lord to do? Fix it without even a scratch. Now you take bold faith. It takes that kind of bold faith. Now see, God don't care who it was. He don't care if it's me or Rosemary. As long as we're in faith, obeying His Word, she prayed that prayer. And far as I'm concerned, that's one of the most awesome miracles we've had in this ministry. And Rosemary got to pray that prayer of faith. But here a while back, let me tell you what. I told that story 3 or 4 or 5 times when it Friday first happened. It was so awesome. One day Rosemary got to thinking, ooh, yeah, I am really something. And God zapped her. Oh, yeah, He zapped her. He said, how dare you take the glory for what I did? I glorified myself. I did it through you. But I didn't say you could take any of the glory. But see, she told me when she got zapped, she said, Pastor, I think I know what I did. I got the feeling so good that when you tell that story, I think, wow, look what I did. And God zapped her. Now see, there's a good message in that for all of us. He glorifies Himself through her. But she don't get to take none of the glory. Just like me, I can't take none of the glory either. But Rosemary loves it when we all tell that story about what our King did through her prayer. I love it when He glorifies Himself through me. Rosemary loves it when He glorifies Himself through you. Right, Rosemary? Of course she does. Now then, as long as we give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, there's no limitations to what our God can do. So He says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Do you think that faith that Rosemary exhibited that day came through with power?
Absolutely.
I mean, God's power, it probably was just a little tiny corner of it, but at least His power showed up for that little boy. I'm telling you, there's probably 9,000 ministries they could have called that would have prayed the prayer, Lord, please help the doctor to take the eye out. But Rosemary's a woman of faith, and she stood by faith, and God's goodness was at work with her through faith with power, and that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in her. And it was glorified that day in her. And you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we love it when God shows up and does a miracle for us? Don't we love that, brother? I love seeing God do that. I'm telling you, that day, whenever we were called back, I'm jumping up and down doing handstands, thinking, glory to God. Look at this. That little boy's eye. Rosemary could have said, okay, I'll pray the prayer of faith that the Lord will help you take the eye out. But no, that's not where she lives anymore. She lives in faith. That's how she's able to stand and get her own eyes back so she didn't have to take her glasses when she got her driver's test the other day. Passed it without any glasses because she's learned to stand on the Word and He's glorifying Himself through her. He'll do the same thing through you and me. Isn't He awesome? What an awesome God we serve. All we got to do is obey Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask You to glorify Yourself through us. This week, as we go, and the things we do, Lord, I ask You to protect us. Lord, Cheryl and I have got to go to Virginia, Orange, Virginia this week. So, Lord, as the last part of this week, as we go up there, I ask You to anoint us both with the Holy Ghost and power, and may You glorify Yourself through us in those meetings with those people in Virginia. And, Lord, give us a safe trip up there and a safe trip back. And Lord, everybody that works here at the Ministry Center, bless them all this week, all week long as they work and do the things they're called to do. And Lord, for this group of people that's here today, may You glorify Yourself through everyone that's here today as they go forth and do great and awesome things for the kingdom of God. Lord, I praise You and thank You for being our Lord and being our God, being our Savior, our healer, and being our power source. That when we pray in faith, You show up and do great and mighty signs and miracles and wonders. And we're grateful to all these things that You do through us as You glorify Yourself. May You increase the frequency of the glorifying of Yourself with even greater and mightier signs and miracles and wonders. Because, Lord, this does glorify You. When we get to pray, like Rosemary did for the little boy, and You've made him a new eye, Lord, You definitely glorify Yourself. Everybody in their right mind knows Rosemary didn't do that. She just prayed the prayer of faith. You had to do that. And Lord, thank You for doing these things through all of us. And we give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.